open up our Bibles this afternoon. Romans chapter 4. Remember on the board over there, there's some services down in Lima area, Labor Day weekend. It would be good to support some of those services. Still believe we ought to be here on Sunday, but I think they might even have a Sunday night if you'd want to go to that. I think that'd be good as well, but I think we should try to make an effort to go out there at least once if we can. I sure appreciate the other brothers that stand for the word. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I've got a sermon the Lord just gave to me today. A little more last night and this morning. And I pray it'd be a blessing to you. Are you happy to be in God's house today? Amen. Amen. The reason I wanted to get right to the word. So Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Let's go to verse 13 there. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to also that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and caused those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I'd like to take a thought out of that verse 17 there, and I don't know if this is grammatically correct or not, but I'm just going to say it the way it came to me, as though it were. I want to preach on that, as though it were. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With every head bowed, and I trust your heart as well. Would you like to lift a knee up to the Lord as we approach His Word? Say, Lord, you know what's behind my hand. It's in my heart. God bless you. Look at those hands. Let's bring those needs to Him now as we invite the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints again together in the house of God. Thank you for desiring our hearts to be here and to hear your word, Lord, knowing that no man would come to you unless it were given of the Father, Lord. And we come because you've called us, Lord. You've sanctified us. You've filled us with the Spirit of God. And we come saying, Father, fill me anew. Feed me from heaven the man I need to get through another day, another minute, Lord. We always need your word. Come speak to us, Lord. Each one that's here, I pray the desire on their heart that you, the Creator of heavens and earth, will come and discern our hearts and first take away all evil from us, Lord. May we never have an evil thought or an evil motive, but may it be pure and holy before you by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, may now you hear the cries of your people and give them the desires of their heart by your word. Speak through my lips, but God, hear into every heart, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this afternoon. If we go back there to and in Romans 4, verse 17, at the end there it says, even God who quickeneth the dead, and Abraham, now speaking of Abraham, it says, and he called those things which be not as though they were. And brother, sister, I've learned that many people, that we know a lot of quotes, we know a lot of things, but too many times we just make them catchphrases instead of saying, Lord, reveal that statement to me. Reveal that thing that I've heard for 20, 30, 40 years, but Lord, it just seems to lay on pages. Reveal it to me how to make it live. And I believe by the Spirit of God, we've got the answer to that, brother, sister. How do you make it live? How do we walk in the Word of God? Well, a good example, and God told us it was our father Abraham. You go back and look at Abraham. Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham had no promise that we knew at all before God came to him. He had no heritage. He had no Christian background. He had no fathers before him. He had no scriptural promise that he was ordained to eternal life like all of us do today. Amen. Hallelujah. But he got a simple call from God. The call from God. He knew he heard from God. And that's the first thing, brother, sister, you've got to come to. Have you actually heard from the Almighty? Can you say without a shadow of doubt that I know who in whom I have believed? And I'm fully persuaded he's able to keep me against the day. I don't come to church just to hear a sermon. I don't listen to messages just because my daddy told me to. I do it because I've heard from someone. I've heard from a person and I fell in love. And I want to be there where He is. I want to hear His voice. I want to know what His will is. Christian friends, that ought to be the desire of any of us, is what is God's will for my life? Abraham was given the promise. He said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Actually, the real promise, you're going to be the heir of the whole world. Hallelujah. And he was, brother, sister. Why? Because through his seed, which we understand was Christ, Christ would bring the world back to himself. Hallelujah. He was promised this. Now here's Abraham given a word with nothing behind it besides the word of God. Believed God. How? We just read it there. What did he do? He did what we call the right mental approach to the promise of God. Brother Branham said it many, many times. The right mental approach to any promise of God will bring it to pass. Amen. So what do many people do? Well, we get onto this, and this is a real trouble in our message for sure. I don't know about anybody else because I can't speak for them. But there's one thing I've noticed about message people. They got to think it through 20 times before they do anything. Scared to death they're going to be a fanatic and ain't never seen nothing about fanaticism. Right. Some people think you rose your hands one time, you're being a fanatic. Some people think, oh, he got a little loud. That's fanaticism. You ain't seen the brim of fanaticism. I've been there before. I've been in a service, and I'm sure most of you haven't, but I've been in one where, my goodness, if we weren't all running the aisles and screaming and hollering for no reason, he wasn't even going to preach. That's fanaticism. I've seen it where people think, well, I dance in the Spirit. That means I'm okay. No, I just watched you walk out of here and talk like everybody else in the world, do everything else. You're not saved at all. You just got emotional. Hallelujah. And I've seen that at youth camps and stuff. Too many times they think, well, I got excited. I got emotional. I must be saved. But that's not what does it. It's got to be deeper than that. It's got to be a real experience between you and God. Trust me, when you hit that real experience, you're going to be emotional. Amen. Don't tell me you got saved and you just, well, that was nice. No, no. Let's just bring it to perspective. You're an old, when it comes to sin and how bad we were, you were on the side of the road. You were worse than the man beat up by the thieves when Jesus talks about the Good Samaritan. You were laying there on the brink of death. No money, no hope, covered in manure all over. All your friends left you. You were sitting there rotting in sin and everyone that came by was just throwing more dirt on top of you. But then came the Savior. Then came the Lord of heaven. The King of everything. Who was sitting up on a throne, feeling nice and comfy on his throne, decided to inconvenience himself. God decided, I will take on a robe of flesh. I will jump in the manure with you. Because you got no strength to get out of there, but I got a mighty arm and I'll pull you up out. That's what really happened to a soul that got saved. He pulled you out of that muck of sin. He carried you up on your shoulder. Oh, you sitting there kicking and screaming, saying, nope, just let me in my manure. I'm used to it. I'm used to this. You're messing up my routine. You know, I don't remember all this thinking about the will of the Lord and stuff. I remember just going with the flow and that was just fine. No, you sit in the manure and we just kicking and screaming. And he just knew too good. He said, I got to bring him home. So he just traveled right through all your complaining and unbelief and everything else. Isn't that right? Got you right to that pool, got you baptized, cleaned, and filled with the Holy Ghost, brought you back to your right mind. Hallelujah. I pray if you're not saved, you get saved. Amen. There's no reason not to be. God has done everything, brother, sister. There's no reason to not accept His grace and mercy in this day. But what is the right mental approach? Is it you just say it over and over and over again to yourself? That's what many people say. Many people do. They think, well, that's the right mental approach. Or I just think about it a lot. That ain't what Abraham did. When Abraham thought on this promise, he literally made the promise become a reality before it was even a reality. Here he is walking, and look, he was not just 100 years old as if something was different back in those days. It wasn't that way no more. It was before that, towards the flood, and towards the end of the flood, people could live a lot longer. But by the time it got to Abraham's time, 100 years was an old man. And the Bible says he was 100, Sarah was 90, and they were well stricken in age. So just in case we thought they still had a lot of strength or something, he said, no, this was old grandma walking with a little hoodie on, you know, crawling around like this. And here's grandpa, big old beard on him, you know, because he just got, they got no energy to shave no more, and just walking around, just getting it done, you know, and just signing the papers, everybody else out there doing the work. But then there came a day where all of a sudden, Sarah received strength. There came a day where all of a sudden Abraham received seed. That's right. And they had a promised son. How did he do that? Well, it wasn't just the next day. This was 25 years ago. God spoke to this man and told him, come out from your people. And I'm going to give you a nation that I'm going to let all the nations of the world be blessed because of you. What did Abraham do? The Bible says he saw it and he believed it. He believed it as if it was already here. And here's his body getting more and more impossible for this promise to come. Abraham still had seed in him for years. We know that because Ishmael was born of him. But God let it go beyond that to where he didn't have it anymore. Right. And God will let you wonder how, why it's getting worse on you, why your life's getting worse. It's because you still got too much strength to give over to God and say, I can't do this. You're still trying to produce an Ishmael religion where you got something in on it. That's why you're getting blessed, because you did some sacrifice, or you're such a faithful person, or you're a good guy. No, you're not. No, I'm not. None of us are, brother, sister. That wasn't what Abraham did. If he would have done that, he would have quit. Why? Because he got down there and the trial started to get on him. What did he do? He went to a nation where the king thought he wanted his wife. And what did he say? He said, go ahead and tell him that we're not husband and wife. Tell him you're my sister. Isn't that right? Scared to death about this king going to kill him. So he said, just tell me you're my sister. And he faltered there. But what is the Bible? I got to just go there. Go to Hebrews 11 with me. Hallelujah. What did God see when Abraham went through these trials? Help me preach now. Don't make it all one-man show here. Hallelujah. Well, it is a one-man show, but his name's Jesus, not Brother Andrew. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you pack him here today? Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. I'm trying to put the brakes on, Brother Dan. I don't know. I might just start rolling fifth gear here in a minute. But Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Now, right here in this first sentence, I want you to notice. There's a comma there and then another comma. There's a little sentence put in between there, which means it's just getting added meaning. What's the real meaning of that sentence? By faith, Abraham obeyed. Hallelujah! It didn't matter what it was. It's the fact that whatever the promise that was given to him, he obeyed it. He said, that's what it is. And that's, you want the Holy Ghost in this day? I'm telling you, the only reason you ain't got it yet is because you didn't obey. If you obey God's word, you can, in the middle, it's true. If you repent and be baptized in Jesus Christ, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. But you've got to obey that. Amen. How? By faith. Amen. Then what we read earlier, how does grace work? Grace only works if you have faith. Amen. Because once you believe wholeheartedly that the only way I can ever be saved is by God's will, then grace kicks in and says, it's already my will. Be saved. Receive the Holy Ghost. Don't be part of this world no more. That was God's will to us, but it took our faith to access it. Amen. Glory to God. Not knowing, now, look what he obeyed. He obeyed the call of God and he went out, not knowing whether he went. This is where these message people, we just messed this all up. I want to know where I'm going, then I'll obey. I want to know what's the next step, then I'll do it. That ain't what happened to Father Abraham. He had no idea where he was going, but he went. Amen. We can't hardly walk across the street to hear the will of God. Here's a seven-year-old, an old man. He got the promise of God, 75, but he began to venture out. Where was he going? Just imagine you coming up to him. This man was wealthy. He was well known. He was Abram, which his name means exalted father. So he was a well-respected man. He had a servant that he was going to give his inheritance to. Obviously, he had a lot to give. Hallelujah. And as he went on as a real comfortable man. Then all of a sudden, one day, people probably thought, oh man, old Abram went off his rocker. Look what he did. He sold it all. He moved it all out. Where'd he go? He's out in the woods somewhere. Did he tell you where he was going? Yeah. Where are you going, Abraham? Abram is what they call. I'm going to the house of God. Where is it? I don't know. How you getting there? No idea. Well, why'd you give up your good job? God told me to. I'm going to do it. Remember, his daddy had to die off, and he was supposed to get rid of all of his kindred. He packed Lot around for a while, and that showed how that worked. After a while, God said, no, that's enough. You know what happened? He took his hand off, and he let the devil get in there and got all the people fighting against each other. Why? Because if men would just listen to the will of God, those things wouldn't have to happen all the time. I wonder if that's some of the church splits we've had to deal with, because people wouldn't just do the will of God, and instead, God allows the devil to get in there to get them all fussing and fighting, to get them split up so they'll go where they're supposed to go. And, oh, God don't work that way. Really? Open your Bible one time. Paul and Barnabas were both called men, Holy Ghost filled, following the will of God. But God wanted Barnabas to go this way and Paul to go this way. But they said, no, we want to go together. We want to go where we're going together. So what did God do? God let them get a little stern in the church. Where Barnabas said, oh, I want to take John Mark. Well, Paul said, I remember what John Mark did a little while ago. He abandoned us. I don't want nothing to do with him. And it said it got so sharp, it split church right in half, and one half went this way, half went that way. That looks like a disaster until you're God's and you know the whole plan. And he said, now I'm getting twice as much done. Glory to God. Wherever you are, don't act like you're by yourself. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you're right where you need to be, because God needs you as the witness over there. I can't do it. Nobody else can do it here but you yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Follow the call of God. I don't know where I'm going. Who cares? Was it God? Do it. Amen. Amen. He'll give you the revelation when you need it. Yes, hallelujah. So what happened is Abraham ventured out, not knowing where he was going. Let me keep reading. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. What did he say? His right mental approach was, I know the city's there. I actually met the king one time. His name's Melchizedek. And I don't know where it's at, but I trust that the same one that called me out is the same one going to get me in. And if God has come to you and taken you out of a life of sin and given you His Spirit, just trust Him the rest of the way, just to get you right back to glory, the same He got you out of sin. Amen. Now the promise continues on. He says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past days, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Can't do this without faith now, so don't even try it. If you think God's just going to dump a bunch of stuff on you and you ain't believing none of it, good luck. That's right. It don't work that way, brother, sister. Even Paul himself, Saul, when he was Saul, he said he did it through ignorance. What does that mean? Is he believed God? He was trying to serve the Lord through the word that he knew, but he had no revelation to go by. But God knew he had genuine faith. It just didn't have the right word to be put on yet.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah! So God found him and got a hold of him, knocked him off his high horse, let him meet the pillar of fire face to face, and then he got down there and he was blinded for a little while, got him off his own thing, and he received the word of the Lord. That's right. Amen. Amen. God do the same to each one of us. I'd much rather you fall now than fall over there. I'd much rather you go through all hell now before you got to go through all hell to all the rest of time. Hallelujah. You've got to believe God. Verse 12, Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, a multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Are you starting to see this right mental attitude? They were persuaded. It means you didn't talk them out of it no more. They didn't have any more Bible studies about where it was. They knew it was there. And they believed it. You could bring all the new doctrine you wanted. I'm sorry. I'm persuaded. I'm going the right way because that's the way God told me to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Died if now I have received the promise, but I have seen them afar off and will persuade them and embrace them. Why? It was in their heart. It was what they lived. Just like Billy Paul. I remember one time that Brother Branham tells a story. They went into a place and they heard some music playing. And Billy Paul said, man, Dad, that's a nice little tune there. And he's like, what are you talking about? He said, Dad, man, all you ever think about is Christ. He said, oh boy, that's the greatest comment you could ever give me, son. What? He embraced it. It was his love, brother, sister. It was what he desired. It was the will of God. It was the plan of God. It was communing with God. Brother, sister, if you don't want to commune with God, what in the world do you want to do in heaven?
Oh, amen.
That's why we're going there, because then we don't got no middleman no more.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, so we've got persuaded, then embraced, and confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desired a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Glory to God. So we've got, you have to be persuaded of it first that this word is right. Then you've got to embrace it that you actually want it, brother, sister. Then you've got to confess it out. What's that right mental attitude? Is I literally believe this is real reality, is the promise of God before me. He could have looked at his flesh and said, well, you know, it doesn't really look like you got much promise there, Abraham. He says, that's not my reality. He said, I'm calling those things that were not. So in one way, they weren't. But in another, much higher existence, they already were. I don't know if we're catching this just yet. The bride is already perfect, spotless, holy, clean. And here, you could say you're not. I could tell you what you did wrong yesterday. You could tell me what I did wrong yesterday. But in a much higher existence,
amen,
it's already done.
Amen.
It already is. How are you ever going to be that? You've got to declare that that is it.
Yes.
As though it were. You've got to live as if I'm already a Christian.
Amen.
Once we get a group of people that really believe you're predestinated, foreordained sons of God, the devil won't have a foothold nowhere.
Amen.
The reason he gets in is because you begin to doubt whether you really are one or not.
Amen.
Or maybe you've never even got the revelation that you are one. Then he's done got you, brother, sister. Because the only one that can outdo the devil is God.
Amen.
Satan convinced angels to turn against God. How do you think you and me got enough wit to do this? Come on, you can't do it. So what do we do? There's two things we need to either do. We either need to get this reality to come down here and become our reality here, or take this one and drag it up there. You can do it either way. And I'll show you some scriptures here real quick. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's go ahead and bring heaven down for a little bit. Second Corinthians 4. We'll just start at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4. Well, let me go to verse 3. Save a little time. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them, unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
Amen.
We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So what's Paul saying here? He's saying down here on earth, man, we're distressed on every side. We've got a perplexity. We're persecuted. Man, it's looking really grim down here. It don't look like we're getting nowhere. And he even said, I'm preaching everywhere and everywhere I go. If I even get a foot anywhere, they go and they run off on tangents. I got to come back next year and fix it because it's perplexities, distresses. He said, I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. It just looks like a failure on every way I turn. But, I'm not perplexed. I'm doing great. I'm not distressed. I'm not forsaken. Why? Because he took his mind to where it needed to be, as though it already were. That the kingdom of God is already being established. He took it. I'm already ordained. I'm predestinated. I'm going to be there, and I'm walking in the foots I need to be right now. Though it looks like earth is falling apart, I'm just going to go ahead and bring heaven right on down. That's why you're defeated, because you don't think you can do that. You think you have to succumb to what your life's like. I'm not telling you it's not that way. It is. It is bad. I got it, brother, sister. You're sick. I understand. You want to throw up all the time. I got it, brother, sister. But don't feed me the unbelief and expect me to help you get healed. It ain't going to work, because without faith, it's totally impossible to please God. Had Abraham done that, he'd have said, oh, you know what? I can't have no more kids. I guess it just didn't work. I mean, just going to have to move on. Just going to have to accept life as it is. No, I'm going to accept the word as it is. That God said, I'm going to have a child. Sarah then believed it as well and said, he's faithful that promised this. The one that promised this can't lie. And brother, sister, how much more God Almighty that's come to us and promised us eternal life? Promised us the down payment here today. He promised us dictatorship of this world right now. Oh, you might not like that word, but we're called to rule it and subdue it and to bring it under subjection. I don't care what happens. The wind blows too hard, it's going to blow your house down. You tell it to go back. The only reason you can't do that, the only reason you think it's is absurd is because you don't believe you're really a son of God yet.
Amen.
Glory to God. What will happen is the scoffer will come and say, you know you're lying. You say, no, I'm feeling great. No, you know you're lying. I can tell. And you say, no, I'm not. I'm doing wonderful. Why? The Word said so.
Amen.
We need to get our confession to take dictatorship in our lives. Amen. Let me read you this. The Resurrection of Jairus' Daughter, 1954. Coming out of Brother Branham's. When he was sick. He says, when I was so sick that I couldn't hold a mouthful of food on my stomach, the best doctors in the nation that examined me said, it's impossible for him to get well. And I read God's Word and I asked God to help me. And I eat cornbread, beans, and onions. And I took a big mouthful. Some of you might have thrown up just because of what he was eating, but he was doing it because he was sick. All right. And I took a big mouthful and my mother got scared and called the doctor. I swallowed them. And when I swallowed, they come right back up. I held my hand over my mouth. Oh no, you can't do that. God done said so. And I swallowed it back down. It come back. I swallowed it again. Just kept on till it stayed down. I got me another mouthful and kept on like that. Day after day. Many people think this was just the one meal. No, day after day. He had to fight for this. He says, walking down the street, I'd have to hold my hand against my stomach. It was hurting so bad. Praising God for my healing. Tears running down my eyes and such, suffered so bad. Some of them would say, how you feel, Mr. Branham? I'd say, just wonderful. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. You're healed? I'd say, yes, sir. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Just like gold. Why? Somebody said, you lied, Brother Branham. No, I never. I believe that when Jesus died, He healed me. And I accepted it. It had to be so. I wasn't confessing what I felt. I was confessing what I believed. I believed His Word was eternally the truth. It couldn't pass away. It was absolutely the truth. And my feelings had nothing to do with it. That's right. That's the way I accepted Him for salvation. I'm not saved tonight because I feel happy.
Right.
Oh my, we're going to have to stop and just hold on to that one. Well, some people get happy and ain't saved a lick in their life, and some people are down in the dumps fighting every grumbling battle on the ground all the time, but they're saved.
Right.
They don't have nothing to do with it. They don't have a thing. Feelings are such a passing thing. Don't base nothing on them. I'm not saved tonight because I feel happy. That's not the reason I'm saved. I'm not saved because I shout. I'm not saved because I spoke with tongues. That don't make me saved. I'm saved tonight because I met God's condition of His Bible. That's right. Amen. And how much more, brother, sister, we talk about healing this way, and a lot of people will at least apply that you know what, it don't matter if you feel good right away, it don't matter if the symptoms persist, you've got to keep on the promise of God. How do I do that, Brother Andrew? Deny the reality here and accept the reality that God has already said.
Amen.
And look, this might not go as planned, it might not be easy peasy lemon squeezy, but it's still the fight of faith, brother, sister.
Yeah.
Abraham did this same thing when he went to the promise. There was many things that happened to make it look like he was never going to have this son. He was never going to have an heir. Even to when God finally came at the very end, he laughed in the face of God.
Yeah.
Go read it. Now his laugh was more of like, are you kidding me? This is crazy. Sarah's was a laugh of unbelief. There is a difference. There's another time that happened where it looks like the same is when the angel of the Lord came to Zacharias, which was John's father. But John doubted that. He said, what sign will you give me that I'm going to have a son? He said, and the angel said, because you doubted, you're not going to be able to talk till the son's born.
Right.
Later on, you'll see the same angel go to Mary.
Right.
And Mary said, how shall these things be? But the angel never condemned her for it. Why? Because she didn't have unbelief when she
right.
said that. She just wanted to know. And brother, sister, you might be judging it that way as well. Say, well, all I did was the same thing somebody else did, you know, but you did it in unbelief.
Right.
They did it in faith. That's why it worked.
Amen.
Brother Brandon walking just a throwing up every time he took a step. It just hurt and everything. But what did he do? He did what Abraham did. He didn't stagger in unbelief. He didn't say, well, you know, I mean, what did he say? He said, I praise God for my healing.
Amen.
I praise God. I don't know. I think we praise Him in our hearts. No, he praised God for His healing.
Yes.
Everybody says, how are you feeling? I feel great. You know, and feel that devil come and try to poke him in his side? He says, no, you don't. He says, yes, I do. Why bring in the revelation as though it already was?
Amen.
As though it, and brother, sister, if you're looking for healing in your body, that's what you're going to have to do. You ain't going to get there no other way. You got to put that body right here and say, get down here.
Amen.
Get the promise can't be off of the cloud. Say, no, heaven, get down here now. And see that body, that this is what I am. I am a full, healthy human being.
Amen.
When the doctor comes and tells you that's impossible to be healed, what are you going to do?
Amen.
Say, no, well, you can't say impossible. That's right. Dad already had that happen to him. What was that called again? What's that? You got to say it louder. Crohn's, which is something in your small intestine, I believe. They said, it just you just can't do nothing about it. You don't have to accept that. If anything, that's the time to believe. That's when the devil's shown you his hand. Hallelujah! And that's when you call his bluff. Amen! Glory to God. Some of you still got the wrong glasses on. You got glasses of the world. It looks like he's got, excuse the term, but hopefully he played poker at some point. He's got a royal flush laying there. You take the glasses off, he ain't got nothing, brother, sister. You can beat him with a pair of twos. Hallelujah! All you need is a grain of faith and you can whip him anywhere he goes. Just take off the glasses of the world. Take off this reality where you're perplexed, where you're hurting, where it's pain, and put on God's eye salve over and look to heaven and say, no! That's me. That's my redemption. I was made not to be sick. I was made to be happy. Come on, I was made to feel good. Heaven was a great place, brother, sister. Garden of Eden was a wonderful existence. That's our inheritance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read you another one. You're not lying either. I can't go on that. You're not lying. You're telling the real truth. Glory to God. Here's the thing. Are you going to be persecuted? Absolutely. But are you going to falter?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We just sang that. We're standing on holy ground. I wonder if we really believe that.
Sure.
You say, well, I don't feel it. Treat it as though it is. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, you can tell if somebody believes Jesus is here or not.
Amen.
Because the least you're going to do is respect Him. You might be a little off the side a little bit and things like that, but I'm going to tell you right now, you can't just snicker and laugh and just cut up. You just can't do that because His presence demands respect.
Amen.
Glory to God. People say, well, Jesus humbled Himself. You know what? He did that once. He did that once to save you and die. The devil don't push Him around no more. Glory to God. When He came the next time, you show me where the devil tempted Him. After the resurrection, you show me where Satan even showed up. Why? He lost. He lost. There's no rebound. He got beat so bad, he don't want a rematch. Glory to God. So what does he do? He tries to come to you and pick a fight. And you know what? As long as he's fighting against you and I, he's got us whipped. As long as we're fighting down here on his plane, we ain't got no chance. But if you'll speak as though it is, then you know what? I have the Holy Ghost. I have the same Spirit in me.
Amen.
That was in the Son of God that whipped the devil.
Amen.
So how can I lose?
Right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be not afraid as I, 1961. He says, now many people call me a divine healer, and other men have that. Brethren, surely you know better than that. If your pastor preaches salvation and you get saved because salvation is in the Bible, and when you get saved under his preaching, does that make him a divine savior? No more than it did any other man to make a divine healer who preaches healing. Because we're only, listen, what are we doing? We are confessing what Jesus said. And Jesus is the high priest, is a high priest of our confession, sitting at the right hand of God to make intercessions upon our confession. He says, I know the King James says profess, but and confess is the same word, but a confession. And he cannot do anything for you. We get this intellectual perception of God that He's all powerful, He's almighty. What do you mean He can't do anything? That's true. He is all those things. But He dictated everything's done by faith. He didn't make the worlds without faith. He didn't do anything without faith. God spoke the word and He believed it. That was His eternal decision on how He's going to do things. So you know what? Your lack of faith can hinder Him from working in your life.
Absolutely.
That's the rule He set up. You say, well, I don't like them rules. Well, sorry, you're not the rule giver. Glory to God. It's so funny. The same person that will say, well, God's not fair to do that. He's not fair to have His own rules. Will sit there and buckle under anybody that tells them what to do as long as they get some money out of it. How big a hypocrite are you? If you wanted just the benefits for you, I'm going to tell you right now, you might as well serve God, because you're going to get a whole lot more benefits than what any man can ever do.
Amen.
That's right. And look, even if you just obey it and you don't really understand it, there's no hindrance to that promise either. There isn't. It's not based on understanding like that, brother, sister. It's based in faith. That you're just going to confess what God says and consider it as though it already is, and the devil's done. It's over. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We say where two or three are gathered together, He'll be here in our midst. And if you can get a whole group of people to believe that, there won't be one sick person to leave here. Why? Because He's here. The Almighty God. The one that I cherish, the one that I know walked the shores of Galilee, the one that raised Lazarus after he was already decaying. You're telling me God can take a decaying body, bring it back to health, and He can't heal you and me who's still alive? Come on now. He's got the power to do it. Why doesn't it work? You tell me one time Jesus told the disciples, it's because you don't got enough power. The Bible says He gave them power. Didn't even help, did it? So we thirst after power. We don't thirst. We lust after power. We need to be thirsting after righteousness. How does righteousness come? By faith, brother, sister. Now, look, there's another way we can go too. Sometimes we got to pull heaven down to here, but sometimes we need to pull this up to heaven. Let me show you where. Then the main thing the devil's going to fight you on is right here in 1 John 3. I'll bring this to a close here soon. I think you understand. Hallelujah. And that goes the same for praising the Lord, really. If you really believe in who He is, as though it already is, that you're already going to heaven, ticket punched, there ain't nothing the devil could ever do, there's nothing you can do, you're going to praise the Lord.
Amen.
You're going to give Him praise, you're going to thank Him, and it ain't going to be something you got to make yourself do.
Sure.
Why? Because that's who I am.
Amen.
When the Bible said the sons of God were shouting for joy, that's because they were showing me. I was standing there shouting for joy. Hallelujah. Why? I'm redeemed.
Amen.
Glory to God. I've been bought back. Devil, you got nothing on me now. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Now listen, here's heaven, and then here's earth. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Settled. We are the sons of God, brother, sister. That is the real reality of who we are. That is what we'll be in heaven for all eternity. That's what the whole earth is waiting on, is for that manifestation to take place in the heart of every believer to where it's over.
Amen.
What does that mean? This body is not mortal anymore.
Amen.
Sometimes people get a little confused. It's still flesh, but it won't be mortal.
Amen.
It still feel, taste, smell, I mean, all those things. It'll still have those attributes, but it won't have any signs of death in it no more. Jesus made sure we believed in a physical resurrection, because He said, when they came, He said, come touch me. I'm not a spirit. He said, I could have, you know, spirits, and try to wrap your mind around that for a minute. What does it really mean to be a spirit? I don't know, but it ain't flesh. You wouldn't be able to touch and feel and things. And God was a spirit, but He didn't want to fellowship with you as just a spirit. He wanted to fellowship with you in flesh. But He couldn't do it in decaying, rotten, dead flesh. He tried it once, and how He couldn't even have fellowship with His own disciples. That's right, because they weren't even agreeing with Him. When He finally was going to go to the cross, I hope this is speaking to somebody, He was going to do the will of God. Here come Peter saying, you ain't never going to no cross.
Amen.
And He said, Peter, you big fool. Before even the crow crock twice today, you're going to deny me three times.
Yeah.
And He said, oh, no, I'll go to death for you. Yeah, okay.
Well,
see, that's trying to bluff it. That's not as though it were. You're just hoping so. If you still got a hope that you're going to go to heaven, you're not saved.
Right.
If you still got a hope that you're going to be healed, you won't get healed. If you've got any doubt anywhere in what you're confessing before God, don't plan on God coming on the scene. He will not be there.
Amen.
And what's nice about that is He told us that. So, I mean, all the doubt and fear and things, we ought not to have it, because we know if we'll just do what God says, He will do what He said. Every time. And we should know without a shadow of doubt just the same. If I didn't do everything God told me to do, I shouldn't expect Him to come on the scene. I better get ready to fend for my own, because that's the way it's going to be. So if you want to tackle your sickness all by yourself, good luck. You better start going to every doctor and get all the pills you can, because He ain't going to be there.
Right.
You trying to get saved by every sort of religious way? Oh, here, you're going to have to do it by yourself, because all you need to do is repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you'll get the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
That's right. I've never seen that feel. The only thing I ever see is people just, they go wet sinners or dry sinners and come out wet sinners. You can't do that. You got to be a saint.
Amen.
How do you be a saint? You repented. You're done with what you used to be. You're coming to a new life. You've recognized you're at fault, and you've recognized what the Word said about you, that you're a son of God. So I can't stay like this. I can't stay in sin. I can't stay in shame. I need to come out of this. The only way you can do that is to say, as though it already was.
Amen.
And that is. You say, we are the saints. People say, you're a saint? Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Catholic says you got to die first. No, I say you got to live first.
Amen.
That's right. You ain't born again. I don't know if you're a saint or not, but once you are, I know you are.
Amen.
Amen. Now watch. Watch the rest of this. I love how John puts this here. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man, listen now, that hath this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. So what is this? We know the reality in heaven is I'm a son of God. We know the reality down here is I don't appear like one. So these people that are always looking for that sign, that they know that they're a son of God, they don't never make no more mistakes, they're always doing what's right all the time. I hate to break it to you, that won't happen. Get over it, all right? Because that's not the reality down here. If that was the case, you wouldn't need the blood of Christ. Because God would just have to find you and said, oh, there's the worthy one. But He already did that once. Proclamation, that's the word I wanted, in the book of Revelation was, come take the book.
Uh-huh.
And every man who thinks he's a good stuff shirt or a good holy man, they shut up then.
Yeah.
They put their hands in their pocket, went like this, and said, well, don't come this way. Why? They begin to think of every lie they ever said, every mistruth. As the man that Brother Branham said, he had the dream that he was at the white throne judgment. He said, I thought I was a pretty good fellow. He said, before that light, he said, them little bitty things and great big things. You know that little candy bar you stole? Yep, that'd be right there, plastered all over. And all it takes is one offense. As the Bible says, one offense is the same as if you did it all. So the second you told that one curse word, you are a liar, you're a thief, you're a murderer, you're an adulterer, you're all those things. You're guilty of the whole law. So why in the world will we accept that reality? Why will we say, I know it doth not yet appear? But what does John say? But we know. But we know that when He comes, we shall be like Him. Why? We have a promise. This is the real hope we have, that one day I won't be in this body.
Yes.
What's going to get you there is faith that it's already happened.
Yes.
Are you understanding? That is the real reality. We want to walk into it. Well, they confess that's what it is. When you go to work, I'm not going to work because I'm slave to my boss. I'm a son of God, and I'm here because my Lord sent me here.
Yes.
Amen. Why do I pray? Because I want to spend time with Him. I want commanding orders. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. I'm a soldier because that's what the Bible said I was.
Amen.
Say, well, I'm not important. Yes, you are. And that's why we ain't getting nowhere. Because you still don't believe this for yourself. Nobody else can give you this revelation. It's between you and God figuring this one out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Coming out of the rising of the sun. Like I said, I'm going to bring this to a close here. It says, when they said that Jesus Christ isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever, that His power isn't the same, that His gospel isn't the same, when the Bible says it is the same, God defied every denomination, every creed, and He moved forth with His Spirit as He promised and proved it to us that He is alive. We are the benefactors of His resurrection.
Amen.
Let that sink in for a minute. That's a whole mouthful. We are the benefactors. What's a benefactor mean? It means somebody else did something, but you get to reap the benefits.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I had a brother preach this. I'm going to bring that. Come back to that quote here in a minute. But there's a time, I wish I could remember exactly, it's one of the wars in the Bible, maybe in Joshua and things, or it's David, I believe. They went so far and some of them got tired, had to rest. They went so far and some had to rest. And then finally a few of them got to the battle and actually won the battle. What was their attitude? Hey, we did the real work.
Right.
We should get the benefits and they don't get nothing. And David said, that's not right, because somebody had to watch that stuff. It might not seem important to your revelation, but it's important to this army.
That's right.
As much as we appreciate men on the front lines, I believe it's 10 people back in headquarters somewhere that's supporting that one guy even get out there.
That's right.
How do you make sure the enemy's not around?
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be watching. How do you know they got food and water and supplies? Somebody's got to be doing those things. And it's the same in the church of the living God.
Exactly.
There's one thing we all ought to be doing. You know what it is? Go ahead. Pray. What's the one thing nobody ever wants to do? Pray. And not pray as we just said. You need the right mental attitude. That, Lord, I'm doing this because you told me to. I'm doing this because we're advancing the army of God every step we take, every time. How about the altar getting back erected in the house, brother, sister?
Sure.
Or every morning we get up and we give praise to God before we do a thing. Throughout the day, the altar don't get tore down.
Amen.
But it's always on our heart. It's always in our minds, brother, sister. It's always communing with us. That's what Paul meant when he said, I would that men prayed everywhere. You think that means we go to work and we don't do our job, so we go off in the corner and start praying? See, that would make us a cult. That would make us a monastery where we all just go pray, pray, pray. Why aren't they getting anywhere with those prayers? Because they're not doing what I'm saying today. They're not praying as though it is. They're praying as I hope it will be.
Right.
And that ain't scriptural hope either. Hope is not I hope it will be. It is it will be. That's real scriptural hope. I have faith now that I'm saved, that I'm sanctified, that I've got the Holy Ghost, that I've been born again, that I'm predestinated son of God, but I'm still trapped in this. But I have a promise that I will not always be in a body that is corrupted.
Amen.
That's my hope. It's not a maybe, it is. My faith now declares that hope there, brother, sister. Now look, don't just leave it there. We're benefactors now.
Amen.
We are benefactors to pull that experience here now. Glory to God. How else could the prophet say when you've heard this message, you've heard from your theophany, if that was impossible?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, we talk about near-death experiences and things, and or somebody passes and comes back. Where did they go? Came down to that theophany for a little bit and God brought them back. You got to be in a body somewhere. Hallelujah. It's like Brother Branham said, you're all just, or when somebody dies, I remember there was a prayer line one time, a woman died, and he told Billy Paul to go pray for her. And he said, he's like, no, he want nothing to do with that dead woman. He said, you know what it is? It's superstitions. That there's something, he said, it's just a lump of flesh, like it's just dirt, really. It's dirt that's taking on a life. And he said, really, all it is that spirit's over there, and I got to bring it back. That's right. Don't explain. You don't need to explain it. You need to just believe it. That what God said is reality. We're sitting here in this building. You've been here for, 45 minutes, going on an hour here. What have we been doing?
Sure.
Am I just up here talking? Or are you just sitting there listening? Are we all just sitting here hungry, ready for lunch? Or are we hearing from heaven?
Amen.
Not just hearing as what people think through the ears, but down into my soul. Yeah. Lord, I believe this. And look, you might have a promise just for you as an individual that you need to now start to visualize is real. It is already real. If you're sick in body, don't you talk about that at all. You say, no, I'm not. I'm feeling great. You say, I get pains. That ain't what I need to hear. That ain't what God needs to hear. He needs to hear your confession. I'm doing great. I'm fine. Why? God's Word said so.
Amen.
Just like Paul, I think his name is Paul Ryan. I just heard it on a tape. The man that was... came up in the prayer, and Brother Branham told him he was a blind man. He said, thus said the Lord, you're healed. And he walked off the platform, still as blind as ever. He waited a little while, and after a while he got a little upset. He's still blind. He came up to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, I thought you told me in the name of the Lord I was healed. He's like, I thought you told me you believed me.
Amen.
And that kind of deflated his bubble there pretty quick. But he said, look, it don't matter when. It's going to happen, though. He says, well, what do I do? He says, go everywhere telling them that you're healed. And I think he even says that he was working at a newspaper, handing out newspapers. So what he'd see, he'd go out there, extra, extra, read all about it. I'm healed. I'm healed. Just blind as ever. I'm healed. I'm healed. Look, making a mockery of himself according to world standards, according to what many preachers probably would have told him. Look, you're bringing a reproach on the Word. No, you're not. You're bringing a reproach to unbelief, and that's what we need. Amen. We want unbelief to look as bad as possible. So go ahead, make a mockery out of it. Amen. Call those things as that are not as though they already were. Why? God said so, and God cannot fail.
Amen.
And when did he get it? When he kept testifying, even when he was getting his hair cut.
That's right.
Sometimes we go through, I just have to do this daily thing, and I won't really worry about witnessing. That's when you're supposed to. That's when you really get the breakthrough. When you feel prepared is when God won't use you.
Yeah.
That's right. It's when you don't. Because then it's not based on your ability. It's based on faith in God.
Amen.
Say, Lord, well, I'm here. I don't know what else to do. I guess I'll just do what you're putting on my heart.
Amen.
Make it a reality. How about when the Holy Spirit comes on you? Actually, let me finish that. Paul Ryan was sitting there getting his hair cut. And he kept telling him, he's like, I'm healed. He said, you sure about that? He said, yeah, I was down in the meeting. And the Lord told me I'm healed. And there his eyes came open. Right there, getting here. Why didn't God do it in the service? Why didn't he do it at the newspaper stand? Why did he wait till then? Because God always, without exception, does things in a way that if you want to doubt it, you'll be able to. Can I say that again? He'll always do it in a way where, are you sure it happened that way? What's this? You've got to believe it first. But once you believe it, you say, wait a minute. This guy was blind. How in the world can he see? They tried that. They tried to intellectually do it when Jesus healed a blind man one time. And they brought him in and said, how did he do it? He just did it. And I can see. He said, no, tell us the trick. He's like, there is no trick. So they said, and they sent him off. They said, well, let's bring his parents in. And they were too yellow-bellied to really support it. Hallelujah. And they got in there and it even says, for fear of getting kicked out of the synagogue, they said, well, we don't know. We know he was born blind, but that's all we know. We just keep our hands off of it. And that's why you don't get nowhere in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not hands off. It's a full-time job. You get them hands in there, that's right. And they called him back in there and says, look, we can argue theology all we want to. But there's one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
And they said, we don't know where this man's come. We have Moses. He said, that's funny, because you're supposed to be religious leaders of this day, and some man opened my eyes, and you don't even know where it came from. You don't even know who he is. He said, how can you be led of God? Proof's in the pudding. He says, will you be his disciple? Hallelujah. It does something when you finally really believe this.
Amen.
When you go and you look, don't get on you about all that stuff. Are you going to stand your ground and say, no, I am healed. No, I am a son of God. No, I don't have to be like you all. I don't have to go in that sin. I don't need TV and pleasures and pretty girl go by, and what do all the boys do? They say, oh man, look at that. You just keep going on and stuff. You know what? They're probably going to call you homosexual. That's right. When you go up to a woman, a man go up to a woman, shake her hand, but a brother come up and you give him a big hug. You know what they're going to think about that?
Yeah.
Why? They're from a different existence, brother, sister. But just count them like the Bible said. They're just brute beasts, fit for destruction. A dog doesn't understand why I hug my wife. I don't expect it to. Why would I expect an unbeliever to understand how me as a Christian is acting?
Right.
Hallelujah. The only reason I understand how they're acting is because I used to be one of them.
Right.
Hallelujah. But that's changed. It's different now. I'm a benefactor of the resurrection.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm not the same that I used to be.
Amen.
I'm what I used to be before that.
Amen.
Glory to God. So you've got to believe that and proclaim it as it is.
Amen.
You're not becoming a son of God. You always were one.
Amen.
We're not becoming eternal. We are.
Amen.
As Jesus said, I am.
Amen. Amen.
You have to be able to say, I am.
Amen.
How do you explain eternity? I ain't here to explain it. I'm just going to believe it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me finish that quote. He says, we are benefactors of His resurrection, being quickened after being dead in the world in sin and in trespasses. He has quickened us together with Him, raised with Him, now sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. His Spirit brings His same life again on the earth. If the Spirit of God that raised up Christ, the body, the anointed body, if the Spirit of God anointed that body in such a way that when that seed fell into the ground, he just wouldn't let him rest there. No. He quickened him and raised him up. That same Spirit, by the same works, by the same power, by the same signs, being you, it'll also raise you up. What raised Jesus from the dead, brother, sister? The only promise that we have, that Jesus had at that time, was what David said in the Psalm. He said, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither his body see corruption. That was the promise. Jesus had to believe that word was reality. He had to say it as though it already was. And he died. Look, he did die. He was all dead. As Brother Branham said, the whole world knew he was dead. It went 3 hours dark because it knew their Savior was dead. And he went down to the readings of the lost, as we understand.
But he went down there packing a power. He packed, what was it? Faith. Hallelujah. See, we think powers, muscles, and no, he went down there with faith. He didn't get huge. He's still 5'3" or something, little bitty man. But he went down there and wrecked the whole place. Went right up to the king, took his keys, and walked out. If somebody comes to your house and takes your keys and walks out, you scared to death that person. We get scared of the devil. You kidding me? He's so scared of our dad. He don't want nothing to do with us. The only time he's when he gets you away, gets you not think that that's what's true, but bring that reality down that the same spirit that raised that body back up from the dead, it's in me now. And according to the word, I've already raised.
Amen.
I'm not being raised. I'm already raised.
Amen.
Why? That's the real existence I have, as though it already was. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 566. Flow through me, flow through me. Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
See you today. Given us His Word today. I'm sure many promises have gone through your head. What He's promised you is healing and salvation and redemption in your children, your families. His promises, but brother, sister, it's time to not let them go over your head. But take the right approach that it's already so. And that's what's true is that promise. When He said, I'm the Lord that heals all your diseases, that's the truth of my condition. Is there anybody say, Lord, I have faith now to receive that. That, Lord, I'm going to receive that promise as it already is. Don't be in despair now. This is not the time to doubt it. This is the time to receive it. This is the time to rejoice about it. That's what shows you really believe it. This is the best time to praise God for it. Say, Lord, some of you are depressed. Say, no, I'm not depressed. Raise above that. Say, I'm not, that's not my condition. The Word is my condition. And I've got the joy of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've been battling with your salvation back and forth. This is what you've lacked. It's time to take the right thought, the right mental approach to God's Word. That, Lord, you called me. That means I'm predestinated. That means I'm sanctified. That means I'm justified. That means I'm already glorified. That's what the Bible said, brother, sister. That's the reality for you. Let go of those shackles already. I ain't worried about what you are here. That ain't what I'm interested in. Where's your faith putting you? If your faith puts you here, then there's nothing any of us can do for it. But if your faith will put you where you're supposed to be as a son and daughter of God, Satan's defeated. He's got no foot nowhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, worship Him now. Don't let the enemy, this is the worst time to get distracted thoughts. This is the worst time to think about something later. That's how the devil snatches that promise right from you. You cast all that aside. Don't expect me to pray through. I can't do that, brother, sister. That ain't how breakthrough prayer works. This is not, His presence is here. If you want to feel it, I'm sure you could right now. Hallelujah. All He needs is your faith. And then rejoice about it, brother, sister. Let it flow out of you that this is true. I am saved. When you hear people walking the streets of gold, put yourself right there. Just envision your feet walking. Hallelujah. White robe on, because that's the truth. What is that white robe? White robe. It's the righteousness of saints. Hallelujah. Just keep seeing that devil trying to come and snatch that away. Because he knows if he snatches that away, you're going to be sick, depressed, and everything else. Don't let him take that away. That's the pearl of great price. Who you are in Jesus. Hallelujah. You need that. Don't sell it away. It's worth everything. Sell everything else to get it. Sell your church away. Sell your feelings away. Sell your religion away before you sell that pearl of great price. Hallelujah. Receive it, brother, sister. Receive your... Oh, what a presence. What a presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here today. Thank you for discerning hearts. You might not think that was discernment, but some of you know it was. Hallelujah. And I'm not one, by the grace of God, I'm not one to let the devil have reign in the people of God. If I see him, I'm going to tell you. Confess it now. That's where you see, you're persuaded now. I believe that. Now you've got to embrace it and confess it. Lord, I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I've got authority and power now. I've got authority over my sickness. I've got authority over my house. I've got authority over these spirits that the sin that does easily beset me. I've got authority over them. I don't have to stay here this way. I'm not going to stay here this way. This isn't even who I am. I'm who I am in Christ. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be His name. Blessed be His holy name. Every doubt, let it drop. Just let it drop, brother, sister. Thank you, blessed God. Oh, we praise your name, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your word. Oh, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, be convinced, brother, sister, that God's here with us today. Yeah. all your heart.
Oh, Emmanuel.
Say, Lord, look, we live in a different day, brother, sister. I'm not even 30 years old, and I feel like these kids are in a different world than I was even. We pray, Lord, protect them, help them. More than anything, use them in ways that we can't be used. If you've got loved ones that you know are going to school, pray the same. Pray the same for them as well. Hallelujah. Let's commit them to the Lord now. You commit them in your own. Let's do it as a body of believers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these soldiers, Lord, that are about to go on the battlefield of school again. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit be with each one of them, Lord, and guide them and help them to be a light shining in a dark place from little Wesley all the way up, Lord, to those going into high school and things, we pray you be with them, Lord. May they be the light shining that'll bring souls to the kingdom, Lord Jesus, that will see them come and be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost, Lord. May it speak to their parents as well and just bring the last fold back to the kingdom before it's too late, Father. We commit this year into your hands, each one of us included. Lord, I'm about to go back to school as well. I pray you use me to be a witness, sir. I pray for the men that go to work, the women that stay at home, the women that work. Each one of us, Lord, may we be that light that's shining, the saltiness that the world will thirst after you for. Grant it to each one, we pray, we commit them now to you. May you bless them, Lord, just as you blessed the little children that came up to your knee thousands of years ago. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Thank the Lord. Go ahead, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just feel like praising the Lord here today. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. Have you received today? Oh, it's by faith I'll overcome. Give Him praise now. It's by faith. A little praise before we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, it's by faith that I believe. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, it's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith. One more time with all our hearts. Oh, it's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Thank you for what He's done. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Live in praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We got fellowship out at our house today. It's my son's birthday little party we got going too. So we're all welcome. Come out, have some good fellowship. You enjoy the word this afternoon? Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hold that promise there. How many believe you got the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Well, if that same Spirit dwell in you, then it's going to quicken your mortal body as well. Amen. We'll sing that as we go. I'll let that take service. God bless you, saints.
Same Spirit.